Hello, Holy Cross Sunday School teachers and families, and welcome to our podcast for the Sunday School lessons for this coming Sunday on November 13th. I just wanted to say my apologies again for not getting this out to you in a more timely manner. We had a funeral here at the church on Wednesday, which is usually my recording and editing day, so everything got pushed back a little bit, but things went well for that. We are talking about, the story for today is about David becoming king, and we're actually going to be jumping around a lot. I should say the Bible passages that we're talking about today, we have one passage from 1 Samuel 16, and then we go all the way through the rest of 1 Samuel into 2 Samuel. I believe it's chapter 5 again. So we've got a lot of ground to cover today. So we're going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into the Bible text and our activities after that. So let's pray together. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank and praise you for your good leadership for your people. Thank you for providing the leader of King David to your people of old in the Old Testament. We thank you for all of the leaders that you provide to us in our lives as well. We ask that you would bless our time spent in your word today, and may it enrich our hearts and all of our discussions with our children. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Once again, to give you a reminder of where we left off last week we talked about the relationship between David and Jonathan, and the week before that we talked about David and Goliath. Okay, and the reason I'm bringing this up is that we're actually taking a step backward chronologically in the Bible for our first section that we'll be reading from, which is 1 Samuel chapter 16. Because 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the story of David and Goliath, and last week we talked about 1 Samuel 18 and also 1 Samuel chapter 20. So this first section here is where David is anointed king, and we talked about that anointing a little bit before in, well, a couple of weeks back, also in this book of 1 Samuel. So this anointing, though, is one of three anointings of King David in the Old Testament. So this first one here is more of the private one here. That's done that pretty much David and his family know. So, for example, when you get to the David and Goliath episode, it doesn't appear that King Saul really is aware that much that David has been chosen to be the next king. But as we heard last week, it sounds like Jonathan is kind of aware of that, either because of his defeat of Goliath or maybe because of some conversations that they have had as well. Anyway, I feel like I'm talking too much, so let's just get right to the Bible and hear from 1 Samuel chapter 16.
1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel,
"How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons."
And Samuel said,
"How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me."
And the Lord said,
"Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you."
Samuel did what the Lord commanded, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said,
"Do you come peaceably?"
And he said,
"Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice."
And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice.
Okay, so as you can tell here, we're diving back in and talking about Samuel again. We haven't heard much from him in the last couple of weeks because this is just about the last time that we'll hear very much from Samuel altogether. But notice, well, if you recollect at least the words that the Lord says to Samuel. in verse 1, it says that the Lord is the one that has rejected King Saul as king over Israel. And so the Lord gives Samuel this command to go and find somebody new to be king. And Samuel obviously is pretty worried about this, so he's wondering how he can go, because he knows that obviously King Saul won't be happy if the Lord is basically picking a new person to be king while he's still alive. Okay. So what they do is they come up with a plan that Samuel's going to come with a sacrifice, and he's going to talk to Jesse about getting together for that sacrifice, and that's going to be ticket in to go and see the household. The Lord is going to make that sacrifice. We'll hear how it all plays out here, continuing on in 1 Samuel 16, verse 6.
When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought,
"Surely the Lord's anointed is before him."
But the Lord said to Samuel,
"Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart."
Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said,
"Neither has the Lord chosen this one."
Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said,
"Neither has the Lord chosen this one."
And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse,
"The Lord has not chosen these."
Then Samuel said to Jesse,
"Are all your sons here?"
And he said,
"There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep."
And Samuel said to Jesse,
"Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here."
And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said,
"Arise, anoint him, for this is he."
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
There you have it there. And the fascinating story about images and things might not always be what they seem. So they line up all of Jesse's sons from oldest to youngest, and as you heard there, the Lord, through his prophet Samuel, just goes one by one from the oldest to youngest and says, "Nope, nope, not it, not it, not it." And they can't even find Jesse. In fact, this should be kind of reminiscent to how they found Saul. They had to basically go and seek him out. He wasn't, stepping up or volunteering. It was God who was coming to seek him. And the key criteria there is in verse 7, which is an important point to note and to cling to as you're talking about this lesson in the class or even at home as well. Where it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or in the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" That's a huge point there, and one that you could make a lot of illustrations to or ties to with some games and activities as well. That the Lord doesn't look at us from the outside, but he looks at us from the inside. And again, you can probably see where some of these games and activities are going. The thing that's coming to my mind too is the story of Aladdin. They talk about the diamond in the rough. The man with the biggest heart is Aladdin, but he's not this king or this royal person. He's just a mere peasant who's stealing for food to survive. So that's a similar sort of theme in Aladdin and a handful of other stories too. And you could do the same thing. You talk about rotten fruit. It might look good on the outside. When you cut it open, it looks bad. Or perhaps even on the bad, or the reverse, might have an apple that looks rotten, but on the inside, it's among the most delicious fruit you have ever tasted. So, a handful of things that can be talked about there with appearances, and things might not always be what they seem. So, that's how the Lord chose David. And another key thing there takes place at the end, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Again, th- think about all those things that took place in David's life from that day forward. That includes his fight against Goliath. The Spirit of the Lord was with him. It includes his conversations with Jonathan that we talked about last week. The Lord was with him there too. It includes everything that David has done. Okay? And that's why elsewhere in Scripture, you know, David is spoken of quite highly. He's regarded as a man after the Lord's own heart, as a matter of fact, which is a pretty high compliment there. Talking about anointing as well, you know, the aspect of that might be something that you could, again, bring into the classroom. Brought this up again in the previous anointing in 1 Samuel with the anointing of King Saul, but this could be something if you have a scented oil of some sort to just simply get a drop or two out and then, you know, put it on the back part of the hand of all the children there so they can just get a sense of the smell, maybe a slight sense of the taste and what that might have looked like. Okay, so that's 1 Samuel chapter 16. And again, we're going to try and fast forward really quickly from there until this becomes public. And that's really the gist of this lesson today as well. So David is brought in to play harp, to calm King Saul's nerves at the end of chapter 16. So David and Saul first meet each other. And then you have the David and Goliath episode where Saul's looking for a warrior to fight this giant named Goliath. And David is the one that comes for that. And the Lord delivers the Israelites out of the hand of the Philistines. Then in chapter 18, you have David and Jonathan and their friendship. And tied in with that, too, is Saul's jealousy of David. So David is this new and up-and-comer, and Saul is the old seasoned veteran who's seeing the kingdom slip away from his grip. Now, David marries into King Saul's family in the end of chapter 18. And then chapter 19, as we alluded to last week, you have the beginning of many attempts of King Saul to try and kill David. If he knows that he's the people's choice, if he knows that he's God's choice, he doesn't want that to happen, so he seeks after him. Chapter 20, David runs away after the guidance of Jonathan. And chapter 21, you hear more about some of the tales of him running away. There's a time where he and his army, they're running away, and they're hungry, and they go to the temple of the Lord. And at the temple of the Lord, they have some holy bread that's set aside, and he asks the priests if they could eat it because they're hungry, and they oblige and give it to them. So it's kind of, would be akin to somebody walking in from off the street here at Holy Cross and saying, do you have any food? And then we would give him some of our communion wafers or something like that. Then you have David, again, running away, and a couple of times he goes and hides in a cave, and King Saul comes pretty close to that. And David decides not to kill King Saul, even though he has the opportunity. So that takes place a couple of times there as well. Chapter 24 being one notable thing. Chapter 25, Samuel dies. The rest of chapter 25, David is befriended by a wonderful woman named Abigail, who has a pretty corrupt and selfish husband who's not being so welcoming. But again, David speaks highly of her and kind of saves her from that marriage there. Chapter 26, David spares King Saul again. Chapter 17, now David runs into enemy territory with the Philistines, and they take him in to try and keep safe from King Saul. Chapter 28, we see a little bit of a picture of how deep Saul's fleeing and how far away he is from God. He's really desperate to go and talk to God about something, and God won't answer, and Samuel is dead. So what Saul decides to do is to call up and summon a witch or a fortune teller to go and raise Samuel back from the dead to talk to him. And Samuel did not like that one bit, and God did not like that at all either. So that's kind of a fun story with, fun as in interesting, and can really have a lot of good discussions about the implications of that for today as well. Eventually, the Philistines get tired of King David being around, so they kick him out. David's wives are captured in chapter 30. Then David goes in a battle and defeats even more enemies, a different set of enemies in chapter 30. And then finally in chapter 31, King Saul dies as does Jonathan as well. Then we get into 2 Samuel, which is basically the story of King David's reign and dynasty here. And then chapter 1 starts off with the news. So you didn't hear about things instantaneously back then. You had to have people literally tell. They would run on foot to deliver messages. And so they have this messenger that comes up to David with some news that he thinks David would like to hear, that King Saul is dead, but in fact David is grieved over it and really sad for King Saul because he was the Lord's anointed. And he very much respected his leader the entire time, even though the leader tried to kill him. As I'm thinking about it, that might be a good parallel for our nation today. I mean, there might be leaders that have been elected in our country that we don't like, but nevertheless, they're the ones that God has chosen, and they deserve our respect. So leave that for however you want to take that in light of this election or past elections, too. Okay, and then we get to 2 Samuel 2. Here's where King David is anointed again. This time, this is done in public. So again, we're now all the people are invited to recognize King David to be king. Now, that's met with some resistance, too, because, as you know, David is not a direct descendant of Saul. So there's this guy named Ishbosheth that's running around. He is King Saul's son, and basically they get in a little war going on. Ishbosheth is saying, I need to be king, and David says, no, I need to be king. But, David wins out. I'll just put it simply. Ishbosheth is murdered there. Okay. Whew. So that's a lot to cover there. Again, I encourage you to go and read that for yourself. It's just fascinating stuff, of course. And as always, if you have any questions, to let me know about any of the details in those stories. So the next part that the Sunday school talks about is in 2 Samuel chapter 5. There in chapter 5, we have the third anointing of David to be the king over Israel. So, finally get a break from listening to me hear from that.
2 Samuel 5. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said,
Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.
So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years.
Okay, I'm going to pause there for a little bit to fill you in on a couple of the details. First of all, you'll notice that the capital city of Israel at this time was not Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is a city, probably the most famous city in the Bible there, and even still today, but that was not the capital city. It started off in Hebron, and as you can tell at the end of that passage, we just heard that David, during his reign, moved the capital city from Hebron, where we find the incident here, to Jerusalem there. Also, another little tidbit there, too. Verse 2 says, The Lord said to you, You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you shall be prince over Israel. Now, this is powerful for a number of reasons. Number one, David was a shepherd over sheep, so now he's making that illustration that he is the shepherd over God's people. Okay, and interesting for a second reason, because throughout the rest of the Old Testament, there are a handful of times where the kings and rulers are also described as being shepherds over the people. And you think about that, the nature of a shepherd is to be a kind of a calm and quiet leader, one that has a good, strong relationship with sheep, and so on. So lots of good qualities and analogies between shepherding and between leadership as well. And then probably the biggest thing to draw from this is that Jesus Christ is also called the Good Shepherd. So we can see as is the theme with a lot of these stories we talked about here in Sunday school, that Jesus Christ is really the ultimate king, or the fulfillment of all of the good things that the Old Testament kings should have been, Jesus is. All the bad things that the Old Testament kings were, Jesus was not, and forgave them of that too. Jesus is the ultimate shepherd, even in terms of the kingly aspect that's talked about here. Okay? It's always helpful to get to know these characters better. So David was 30 years old when he began to reign. I'm 34, so that can give you a little frame of reference there. So he's younger than me, or what I am, or I'd say David would have been younger than what I am now. Pretty young, I'd say, to because we have the law in our country of a minimum age that's much higher than 30. All right, and talks about him reigning for 40 years as well. So that let's see, I'm trying to see if we are reading the next section there. Yeah, I think that'll do it for this in the Bible passage there. So, where do we go from here? In terms of extending the lesson, again, a couple of key points and things to draw from. Number one, the Lord looks at the heart. You know, number two, talking about Jesus being the fulfillment as the Good Shepherd as well. Concrete activities you can do in the classroom and in your homes for your families. Again, the first one would be, you know, as I mentioned before, bring out some oil. You know, maybe talk about how oil feels and what oil was used for to signify or represent God's chosen person for a specific position of leadership there. So that might be one thing that you could do. The second thing you could do with the littles is you could maybe act this one out in some way, especially with the anointing of King David that we heard from 1 Samuel 16. You could have some sort of lineup of people, and maybe you can have the kids pick out which one is the best one by looks, and then maybe you could surprise them by picking one that's best for a different reason that they cannot see. So talking about that better is the thing that's not seen aspect a little bit too. That would be another one. The other one you could talk about with the littles, you know, I think they understand and equate hearts with love. So you could talk about that. You know, what does it mean that David had a good heart? That means he was loving, and you could talk about, you know, how might that take place too. All right, so that's with the littles. Again, with the bigger kids, you can really stretch that analogy of the quote-unquote diamonds in the rough. You know, ask them to brainstorm some movies with that plot. You know, who are the sort of unlikely heroes in low places? And then, you know, that's just a springboard for talking about character, I think. You could talk about, you know, what are those sort of characteristics that God would be looking for? And you know, what made David's heart so good and faithful? And what does God look for in a good and faithful heart right now? And the answer to that, ultimately, is it's the heart that God gives us. Now, Psalm 51, the psalm that David wrote, says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Or, "Create in me a new heart, O God." So that is how we get that pure heart that God needs to look at there. Okay? You could even talk about, you know, now that we just had the election, you know, for the older kids, it could be a good time to spring forth with conversation about leadership. I mean, what are the roles and responsibilities of leaders and rulers of a country? And what are the roles and responsibilities of citizens of a country living under a ruler? This might be a really good time to reinforce that notion since we've just coming off an election. So, the answers to that too, you can find that in the Lutheran Small Catechism and the Table of Duties. You know, it talks about those things. And by and large, you know, leaders are there to serve the people and to provide for their best interests. And citizens are to respect the government and give them honor, and is encompassing of a number of different practical, tangible things. So it means as citizens we are to pay our taxes, we are to speak well of all those in our government, we are to support the government in some of those things, in all the things that they're trying to do. You know, don't go being a lawbreaker, for example, with the exception of anything that goes against God's word. That might be a good springboard for some of those discussions, too. So if you need more help on those, send me a note or something before the weekend. Or what you could also do, too, as is the case anytime, is you can say, you know, hang on, you know, let me look into that and come back to you next week or the week after that, too. So lots of options and choices there. Okay, so I've been talking a lot, so let's wrap this up here. The law gospel game, the law for this, see here, how would I describe this? When you're talking about David being anointed king, I would kind of cling to the law that we heard at the beginning. You know, the whole reason that David was anointed king too is that the Lord rejected, or the Lord had left his leaders. So you could say, might be a kind of a minor point, I suppose, but that sometimes leaders are not faithful in doing what God would have for them. Okay, that, and again, that might be kind of a big point there. And, or you could say a different law point too would be, don't judge based on outward appearance. Be another thing, like we as humans typically do. Right? So it may not be the big guiding law principle, but still two law principles there. All right. Gospel principles there. The Lord is the true shepherd of his people, and the Lord gives us government leaders to take care of us. That would be a second gospel point there as well. And I realize I'm just kind of cheating with my own rules here, giving one or two things for each one. But again, those are some main points there. And again, very timely points too that will be brought up next week on the 20th. Yes, the 19th and 20th weekend in church is actually Christ the King Sunday. Well, that point will be reinforced. All right, let's close with a word of prayer, and may God continue to bless your week. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the opportunity that we have had to dig deeper and learn more about you and your word and how you provide for us through all of those shepherds and leaders that you have given to us in our lives. We ask, in the light of our recent election in our country, that you would continue to be with President-elect Trump and with all of the newly elected congressmen and women of our country and in our state as well. We ask that you would continue to let us be good and responsible and faithful citizens and carrying out all those tasks for which you have given to us. We ask that you would continue once again to strengthen us and ground us in your word, that you would create in us that clean heart, that you would look at that clean heart on the day where we are taken to be. In Jesus' name we pray.